Chat of the Wild is a part of the Greenlit Podcast Network. To find out more information, as well as other great shows, go to greenlitpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Chat of the Wild. In this season, we are playing through The Legend of Zelda The Twilight Princess. In this episode, we're going to do some exploring. We just finished getting the third dungeon complete. We went through some serious story stuff. Zelda may have killed herself.
She's been all Obi-Wan on us.
We don't know. A lot's happened.
I cried.
It's a touching moment.
Did you?
I did. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
We also got the Master Sword.
Yeah.
Along with that, we have a lot more abilities, like being able to transform at will and warp around at will now, regardless of if we were already a dog or not.
Finally.
All of these things, including the tools that we have, let us do a lot of exploring. There are a lot of postals to collect. Mm-hmm. There are bugs to collect now. There already were, but there's more bugs to collect now.
We can move around a lot easier, so it makes finding them easier.
There's a bunch of mini games that have opened up to us, too. We have a good, like, 3 or 4 mini games that we can do to get heart pieces, or bombs, bomb expansions, or quivers.
I want to call them mini work, but yes.
Some of them are fun.
Not games. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I call it mini work. I'm in agreement with Brian on that.
Multiple times during my stream, I was like, oh man, this is my least favorite mini game in this game. And then I'd get to the next one. I'd be like, oh yeah, I remember this being my least favorite mini. Oh wow. A lot of these are my least favorite mini game.
I will say there's a decent like mid boss in this section or mini boss in this section, which was pleasant surprise.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting it, but I was expecting him to be like a little bit more challenging. We'll get to it later, but
yeah, we'll talk to it. We'll talk about that actual story stuff later. So of all the things that we can do, Brian, you were listing off all the things you hated. What was your favorite mini game?
Oh, I love the star game. The famous game in town. I mean, other than I talked about how much I like Agatha, but I love the hookshot game.
I don't think it's that interesting. I think like you're given it's an impossible game that you're then basically supposed to get something they didn't expect, and he's just like razzle frizzle razzle.
Yeah.
Fine, here you go. Here's a quiver.
Well, yeah. I mean, what do you expect from Tingle? I mean,
I expect
just like to pull
amazing
one over
maps
on that guy.
And songs and dances.
This was actually the first thing I did as soon as I got like free and could warp and everything, because I was like, oh yeah, I'm going back and I'm gonna show that guy what's what. And I think more than anything, the game was yes, whatever, you just use the hookshot and it's not that hard, but I loved being able to go back and just like stick it to the man.
Yeah, because there's a lot of helping the man in this game, in this section, so being able to stick it to him somewhere is pretty
great. I didn't
want
to do this one. I'll go back and I'll do it, but like I don't like being timed. We all know that. And I just wanted to do other things. And I'm like, eh, I don't feel like dealing with Tingle and his little.
I decided that I was going to knock out the story stuff first so that I just had nothing but time to explore and do things. So I had to stop myself from going into his tent first and foremost. I was like, oh, I want to do that. I want to do that. But I'm going to be patient. But yeah, it's just, You stick it to the man by using an item that he was not expecting you to use.
I think it's also cool that the girls that were so obsessed with him freak out over you after you win. And if you go out and talk to them, which I don't know if this has happened other times in Zelda games, but they scream, like fangirl, like Beatlemania scream, and then like hearts float above their heads, but they're actual hearts you can pick up. Like it actually heals you to talk to your adoring fans, which I thought was super
funny.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. And then they kind of follow you around if they see you later. They'll be like, oh my god, there he is! Ah! You need some, like, some bobbies to, like, run cover for you so you can, like, duck into an alleyway or something.
Oddly enough, I actually really enjoyed the second version of the minigame that you can get with the, like, it's like the whitewater rafting game.
Oh, yeah.
Where you go down and they just have all these balloons all over the place this time that you have to shoot with air, with bomb arrows. Mm-hmm. And I did amazing at it, and it felt awesome because I was able to, like, you know, thank God I have my gyro aiming with the gamepad, that I was able to, like, lob these arrows and hit these distant jars and just be amazed every single time I did it. I'm like, that's not gonna hit it. It hit! Holy crap!
I didn't like the steering. I was oversteering at first, and then
yeah,
I realized
subtlety is key.
What?
Subtlety is key.
Yeah, and I figured that out, like, about, I don't know, a quarter of the way down. And I'm like, okay, just a little bit. And then I had no issues, like, getting to the rocks or whatever, but that Afro lady, she is awesome. I do like, I like her vibe or whatever. But at first, like, before you get to, like, before she'll let you do the ride or whatever, like, the shadow monsters come down for the portal or whatever, I thought that I would have had to have been the wolf to defeat them, because you have to be the wolf every other time. So then I tried to transform, because you can transform any time, but Minnow's like, you don't want to scare the humans, do you? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, how do you want me to defeat them? And so then I figured out it's just like a spin attack. You get them all close together and you do a spin attack at least on two of them. And so
I did the Bridge of Eldin that way earlier, because we couldn't change back then. But yeah, I was like, man, I wish I had been a wolf when I ran up to this. But
so, but I don't know the canoe thing, but I'm happy to have a second bomb bag. That's quite delightful. And I like the look of the bomb bag. Huh?
Sick. I have three now.
Oh, geez.
Oh, I just have the two.
I think the whole realism thing that this game is trying to do doesn't necessarily translate to fun sometimes. And if you've ever tried to steer a canoe, you know, steer and power a canoe when it's just you, just a single person in there, it's not as easy as Pocahontas makes it look in that movie. It's actually pretty tough. Yeah, it's not as easy. It's pretty tough. And so later when I did some fishing with the fishing hole lady in the back, it's a little bit easier to steer that because you got someone with you. And I'm just like, I get it. You really want this to be more realistic, Nintendo, but it's not always fun.
Yeah, so the fishing part, I did not catch a single fish, but I did go to the fishing area to get me a heart piece and a bottle. That was all I did there.
Good.
It's funny, if you go into there, there's a sign that says, do not litter. And then if you go fish over there, you can pick up a bottle and it says, like, hey, killing two birds with one stone. You're helping save the environment and you got a new bottle.
I hate fishing.
It was fine. It took me a second to get it down. But that, I think I was holding the A button down that you use to cast while I was reeling. And it won't let you pick up a fish if you're just holding one of the buttons down the entire time and then add a second one in.
So I wanted to fish, and then I was like, I don't have any bait, and I don't know if, like, I need bait for it, and I only have two bottles at this point. I don't know how many we theoretically could have, but four. I realized that I've been carrying around this, like, purple chew jelly, because I think, like, purple, I only saw, like, one or two purple chews, so I was like, this is probably useful, and I've been, like, looking around for somewhere to take the chew jelly, and I was sitting there, and I was talking to Julia, and I'm like, Julia, where do I take this chew jelly? Because, like, I haven't been looking at guides. I've never played the game before. So I'm just assuming that it gets used in a potion somewhere. And she's like, oh, I think it's just, like, a roulette. It either hurts you or heals you one heart.
What?
What? You don't take it to, like, Afro Bird
maybe,
or something?
No, it is. The purple is just a roulette. That's all it is.
Yeah. Boo. So then I'm like, well, how do I dump it out without
drinking
it?
I'm glad I didn't
it? And she's
waste
like,
you can't. Time on that.
I think you just got to drink it. So luckily, it just healed me one heart. But it was like, it either like hurts you, heals you, or takes you, like takes you down to like a quarter of a heart or something. So that was a bummer. Because I've been like eschewing all these other items in order to hold on to this chew jelly that I thought would be super important later.
The final battle, you're like, oh man, I'm almost out. Wait, I have my purple chew jelly. And you drink it and bah, pff, dead.
Rip.
Womp womp.
Yeah, there is a beehive in the fishing hole, but you can only use bait on your fishing rod that Colin gives you. You can't, like, stick it on the ones with the lure. And we can't really get any new lures yet. I tried, but we need some other stuff first.
But, yeah, I just went in there. It's kind of funny. There is a heart piece sitting on a rock that if you just go up there with the boat and, like, fling your fishing rod, you can just grab it off of there. And it's like it's just a really weird way to do it. I think you could do it with like the Gale Boomerang, but it's better just to do it.
Yeah,
with
that's
the fishing rod.
Yeah.
It's funnier.
I think the Gale Boomerang is a little too far away. Like you have to like be in the boat to do it or something. I have a problem.
Oh, do
with
you,
the heart
Brian?
Pieces.
Do you?
aside from the number you need to get a full new heart. Like there are grottos in this game, little hidden sections. You'll find like circles of rocks or circles of grass or whatever. And if you put your wolf sense on, you can dig down into a grotto. And I'm like, oh, cool. And there's stuff hidden down here, but there's never anything good. Sometimes it's money. Sometimes it's nothing.
Stamp.
And I'm expecting, like, you know, you guys get stamps. I don't know anything about that. But, it'll be, like, kill these 6 Tektites and you'll get 50 rupees and stuff. And I'm like, there's so many heart pieces in this game that they need to give you 5 per container. And yet, they're still hiding, like, they're not hiding them in places where I would expect to find them. And then you're just riding around and like, oh, hey, there's a heart piece on a tree branch or on the rock at the, you know, at the fishing hole. And it's like, really, you're going to hide them there, but you're not going to hide them in like logical places. Like, well, you got to find this grotto to get to it or something like that. I'm just like, this is...
These grottos are still an improvement over most of the grottos in Ocarina. Most of the, like those ones, like sometimes didn't hit. No,
that's the same thing.
Right, but
there's
at least you get like 100 rupees and not just a cow. You'd go down to so many grottos and there would just be a cow.
That's
sitting
a healing.
There.
You get
I
healing.
I think a cow was cool personally, but
the grottos you can go get bugs and sell them with C. You know, you get 50 rupees. Not like rupees matter in that game, but still. At least rupees matter in this game. Yeah. There's things for us to spend them on, I guess.
Like donations.
Yes.
We do get the opportunity to donate to Mallow's Let's Fix the Bridge effort fund.
Oh, yeah. I did that.
The sketchiest operation in all of Hyrule.
Yes.
Like,
but I liked it. I liked
what?
It.
What
I'm
the
like,
hell?
Sure,
he
why
has
not?
These elderly Gorons working for him.
I'm like,
why is this old dude holding a sign? Then there's a second dude. So he's clearly conning the elderly. And he's like, oh yeah, shops in the castle town, they're like charging an arm and a leg. They're extorting like the lower class. And it's like,
there is a specific shop he's going after, and it is the one that is the most snooty of them all that charges. I think they have, I can't remember how you can get into there, if you can get in there beforehand, but they're selling the, whatever, the rare tunic that runs on rupees, and it's like 20,000 rupees or something like that to get it.
Oh, no. It's more than that. It's like 400,000 rupees or something
it's
crazy.
Just an impossible number. And that is who Mallow is targeting.
Yes.
With this effort.
It's like this.
Okay.
It is a beautiful shop, though. Like, I'm like, oh, this is like very pleasing to the eye. And so, like, first you have to like get your shoes shined to go in there. And then, like, there's like these like.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Yes. And so, like, first you walk up to the door and they're like, oh, your shoes are filthy. Like, we can't allow people like you in there. And
Jess, did you see how they had a picture of Breath of the Wild inside of that shop?
Did they?
Yes.
I didn't.
The what?
In the HD version, there, if you look to the left, there is the first like screenshot that we ever saw of Breath of the Wild, of that big open field, that beautiful green grass and blue sky picture.
Oh, I'm gonna have to go back.
Is in there.
But yeah, it did make me mad. But like the only reason I knew what to do is because they say it. They're like, "Oh, your shoes are filthy," and then there's like a little dude right outside of the shop who's like, "Oh, you know, like your shoes like just need to be polished." And so I'm like, "Okay, fine, polish my shoes for like what 10 rupees or something." And so then you go in there and there's like these fancy hoity-toity people in there, and the guy that works in there is, well, he's not pleasant. And stuff, and he's like, "Can you afford that?" And I'm like, "Oh, I'm like, I'm about to come over this counter."
Even if I could afford it,
I first
can't afford
tried
to
just put
it.
My iron boots on to see if that would work. They were like, your shoes aren't clean enough. And I was like, "Ka-chunk, how about these ones? Ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk."
That's
but it
great.
Just wouldn't let me put the boots on. That was going to be my plan.
Stepped on your toe. I mean, okay, so, you know, class warfare aside, the actual act of, once you give them enough, Mallow enough money to help open this shop, the actual side quest itself is, I remember it being the absolute worst. So this is another instance where I was like, this side quest is the worst. I hate it. I got it in one try this time, and I was thoroughly surprised by that, but it was harrowing, and some of our patrons were just like, "My heart is pounding," and I'm like, "You think your heart's pounding? Like, that
was
the
most
stressful thing
of all
time." So what happens
is, when you open the bridge up, you're able to then carry a barrel of hot water to one of the Gorons that are hanging by the south entrance, or no, hanging by one of the entrances of
the
Hyrule
entrance.
Castle. And if you give it to them, they will be revived, basically, and can go and do what they need to. And then if you go back into Hyrule Castle Town, you will see that they are selling stuff, and it's great, and they'll give you some free hot water.
Also, if you accidentally give Mallow extra rupees, he
will
take them.
That's on brand. Yeah.
I gave him, like, I had, like, 502... And he needed 500, so I just accidentally gave him all 502, and he just, "Yeah, I'll take those, thank you." But when you're carrying the hot water, there are levers chasing you, those annoying bird things are trying to chase you down, and if anything touches you, you just immediately drop the water and have to start
over
again.
I just ran along the edge, and literally I just had one bird chasing me, and that was the only thing that happened.
Oh, no, I've got a whole flock of things. Just
yeah, if you're still doing it, just run along the east edge.
So I didn't realize that the Goron water thing was tied to Mallow's bridge revival. And so I tried to go, I went to death. I'm like, that's one of the first things I wanted to do was like open up that pathway, because I'm like, this is irritating me. So I went to Death Mountain, picked up like some, like I emptied out a bottle and got some hot water in my bottle, and I presented it to him, but it just dumped out, and he just kind of stood there. He's like, "Doody do." I'm like, "Are you kidding me?
Do you have any hot water?"
And I'm like, "You don't." I'm like, and I was surprised that it wasn't timing me. I'm like, "I wonder how long it'll stay hot in this bottle." And so, because I just warped, you know, over there, and I'm like, "I give up on this."
Which Goron is it, the one for the bridge, or the one for the rock wall that he has to break through? Okay, yeah. See, I accidentally, but after I did it after I had unlocked the bridge and done the whole Mallow thing, and then so all I had to do was go to the shop in town and bring it to him, and I still drank it.
He's just like, "I'm so thirsty."
I still wasn't able to present it to him.
"Hey, check this out. Go, go, go." It didn't even do anything to me because I'm just a human.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have the you know, two like Majora's Mask's credit. One thing that it did that was a vast improvement over Ocarina of Time was when you needed to hand an item to someone, it would offer you the opportunity to pull the item out and set it to see and then give it to them all right there, like in a menu thing. So I don't know why they didn't have something like that. Like, this guy needs an item. Do you want to hand it to him now? And like, no, I just had to drink his Goron special hot water in front of
him. Yeah, it doesn't do that. It irritates me.
So I want to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to talk about more of Twilight Princess and all the fun things we can do.
Of course, that song means it's time to talk about the Patreon. That's right. Chat of the Wild has a Patreon now, patreon.com/chatofthewild. Head on over there to join up. It's a dollar or more a month, and you get a bunch of nice little perks, access to our Discord, vote for our next Gaiden game.
We're getting close. It's we're running out of time on that. So
yeah. I mean, the,
like a week or two.
The twilight is eclipsing. Dawn is going to break soon, and voting will have ended. So if you're if you want to get in on choosing our destiny, you've got a few weeks left for that.
Mm-hmm. Get in on that sweet action.
Well, speaking of getting in on sweet action, we do have a new patron to talk about. They filled out our little questionnaire, and Jess, you could tell us more about that.
Yeah, I love it when they do that. I think it's so cute. Sorry if you don't want to be called cute while I'm, you know, announcing you, but here it is. So, this Patreon, his name is Jitterbug.
Jitterbug.
I love that. Jitterbug.
How much, how often do you think they get that?
Oh,
I don't think
I'm
that's
sure.
their legal name.
Yeah,
you
but
don't know that.
I kind of want to like call him like Jitterbug all the time. Like, hey, this is my bro, Jitterbug. He goes by JB for short.
Welcome to the Patreon.
He answered a few questions. What is your favorite Zelda game and why? Probably Ocarina of Time, because I have good memories of my dad and I trying to beat it together, especially that Aww. Dang water temple. I totally agree with him on the water temple. I mean, I hate it. We all know that I hate water temple. Anything
I'll
water.
I'll have to look, but I think we were having a discussion in the Discord about that, and I think Jitterbug was involved in that, talking about why the water temple was the worst. Like, you know, people on both sides kind of thing. Some people defending it, saying it's not too bad. But that's one of the things you can get in the Discord. We have these discussions. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
And how much...
Well, stop plugging the Discord. It's Jitterbug's time, guys.
Yes, it is.
I also like Ocarina of Time, and that's very sweet that you and your dad played through it
absolutely.
Together.
I know, that's so cute, right? I'm like, I love that. I'm like, I love my dad. We used to play Super Mario Brothers together.
Aw, that's sweet.
I know, isn't it? Second question. What is your favorite Zelda item? He's like, there's so many good ones. I agree. But I'll probably pick the bow or the stone mask.
Yeah. There's a good pull.
Yeah, I'm trying to, like, the stone mask, like, what is that one from?
It basically makes you invisible in Majora's Mask. Like, nobody sees you when you're wearing it.
Ah, that's why I don't know it, because we all know I haven't finished Majora's Mask.
Yeah, we all know that you did one episode with us and then couldn't do any more. This is too much time.
I love the bow when I have motion controls. I think I didn't like the bow back on, like, the N64. Just like trying to go around, and even like in the 2D ones, the bow never really stuck with me. But as soon as I was able to do motion controls with stuff, it just became so snappy. I just felt like a badass, you know. It was just like, it just felt so cool. I mean, they made their own little spinoff game because of how cool that is. You get the crossbow training.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like Z targeting with the bow. You know, in the 64 games, you just take out a room full of dudes if they're weak dudes. But with the motion controls and then with the gyro controls, Breath of the Wild bow is great.
Oh god, it's so good.
And it slows down time.
I'm not,
it's so good.
Right. I'm not usually a range girl. We all know I like, you know, to slash them with my sword.
Mm-hmm.
Just likes getting up in people's faces.
Yeah. Yeah. It happens to the best of us. But sure. The bow...
I believe Jeremy and I are both rangers, so yeah.
Right. But the bow in Zelda, I really enjoy because they do make it really... I think they have streamlined it really well, and they make it for people that don't like range, like me, to actually enjoy it, so...
Yeah.
So the third and the final question is, do you have a favorite Zelda-like? I don't think I've played many Zelda likes to have a favorite. That's all right, friend. Mm. We've all been there.
Anyone want to toss out a suggestion?
Crusader of Senti. We have a season about it, and that game is wild, and I love it. And I will never pass up an opportunity to recommend it.
I would go with Mega Man Legends. I don't think it's aged super well. But I think it's just a great world and a fun story.
It rewards you. The more you hang out in it, the more you are rewarded. It's like, you know, Majora's Mask in that way. The longer you hang out in that world, the more it gives you.
I love Blossom Tales. It's so dang cute. It's so cute. I love it.
It's a really great game. It's really quick, too. It'd be a bite-sized Zelda experience. Real fun.
Well, thank you, Jitterbug.
Yes, thank you.
Absolutely. So in addition to that, we've also unlocked a review of the Zelda animated series. So look for that coming up soon. There's also some other things that, you know, the more patrons we get, the more perks we will unlock, like generic game reviews and such. But also, I'm streaming over every Wednesday night when the day the podcast drops. I'm playing my segment of Chat of the Wild, so you can come watch me do that. And we hang out in there. Usually some weird stuff happens. Table likes to spin the wheel of doom right when I'm getting into boss encounters. So that leads to me, like this week I beat the first phase of the dungeon boss with my nose. Cause yeah, Tiffy controls the wheel. And so, I don't always know what's going to be on it, and play with your nose for 45 seconds was an option this time around. So that happens.
Keeping it spicy.
Yeah. So, you know, I think I'm taking a lot longer to get through this game because the wheel slows things down. We get to have time to stop and chat and talk about anime and talk about, you know, whatever, because I'm applying, you know, makeup or something because of the makeup wheel of doom. So, yeah, it's been fun. The Wednesday nights have become, like, you know, my favorite night of the week. So come hang out, spin the makeup wheel of doom. Make my life harder. Sometimes it messes with you too, but it's mostly messing with me. So,
excellent.
With that out of the way, why don't we kick it over to some of the other great shows on the Greenlit Podcast Network?
Take a time machine back to before the world went to hell around the year 2000.
The 80s and 90s were so rad. The movies, the music, the TV, the games? That's what I want to talk about.
If you're cool enough,
join us and listen to Less Than 2000, because that's all we talk about.
Adam and Chad live Less Than 2000.
Hi, I'm Ray, and this is my friend Alex.
Hi.
And we do a show called No More Whoppers.
Between us, we're as old as four RPG protagonists.
And now Alex will give us a funny anagram for the name of the show.
Big Ol' Knockers.
Join us every month or so on the Greenlit Podcast Network.
So, some other mini games. One thing, so I hate it, but I also enjoyed it, was the mini game of flying back up that river.
Oh boy.
It was challenging, but I like the mechanics of it. I like the way that they make it, that you can combo the types to get the maximum amount of points that you can. So when you go into there, like, ideally you just want to focus on hitting the red ones. And so you want to avoid other ones so you don't break your combo. You only have to get like 10,000 points, I think.
Yeah.
And I ended it with like 35,000. So it was, and this was after hitting a couple walls because the bird's wings were apparently clipping or something like that, and it was really hard to figure out where its hitbox was. So I had a couple falls where I'm just like, how am I supposed to even fit through that gap with this giant bird?
Just don't worry about it.
Just don't do it. How about that?
Right.
So just skip those. You don't need those.
Well, no, you're right, because I got three times the high score. Like, I didn't technically need all that.
Yeah. Literally the first time I did it, I hit the 10,000 mark and then ran into a wall.
Yep.
And then, so I had this really good first run. And then after that, it was just running into walls. The flying handles like you're driving a Winnebago, like with no headlights at night. And I do like the mini game concept, but just flying through and then hitting things and like trying to maneuver, like if you do it right, it's fine. It's not that complex. But as soon as you do something wrong and you hit one thing, that just ruins everything. Like if you clip a wall weird and it doesn't like immediately fail you, you're just like trying to figure out, how do I get back on a normal trajectory?
I'm gonna throw this out here real quick. Is this the worst movement in any Zelda game? Because I feel like everything.
How are you guys controlling it?
I just mean I'm talking about this game in general. Like riding Epona is garbage.
Oh,
even just running around with Link doesn't feel amazing.
Oh, okay.
The running as wolf form I find annoying, where Midna keeps doing her every time you like do a little
dash
speed burst.
Yeah, but you want to be in wolf form
exactly
as much as you can,
because
it's the fastest way to run.
There's a part of it where I'm just like, it's annoying. I honestly just want to run with Link because I don't like that sound.
Yeah, I hate it.
The sound doesn't bother me. I would rather run as the wolf than ever ride Epona. Honestly,
oh, yes.
I realized that today, because it's like, I don't know if it ends up being slower, but the wolf is fast enough, and I wish riding a horse controlled like running as a wolf. It would just make riding a horse way more enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Plus you got to go hunt down the horse grass.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not always like right by an entrance. Earlier in the season, I was like, they spread it out in a good way to where, you know, you can usually find some, but like, no, not always. But specifically that game though, how did you guys control it? Was it with just control stick and
it's
just
it
like heavy
controls.
Movement? Okay, because I have to point a Wiimote to make that thing fly.
No.
So it's garbage.
Yeah.
It's hot, fiery trash. And it's one of the reasons why I remember doing this. Like, I got really lucky on most of these games that I despise, or these side quests that I hated from originally playing it, because they stick out in my mind as, oh yeah, that's that thing I did 20 times before I finally got it and was able to move on. But it's still just, it's so annoying to have to control. And I remember I don't want to do this anymore. We get a bomb bag from the one thing, but I know I needed it. So I kept doing it, but what did we get for flying again? We got a heart piece.
Yeah. I won't do it.
Yeah. And if you're smart enough, you can game that game, because each time you set a new high score, you get 100 rupees. So maybe you won't be like me and get 46,000 points on your high score, your first run that you complete, and now there's no reason to go back and try it again, because you're going to have to beat that score.
So I have been flush with rupees in this game. Thanks to like timing things with Agatha, I'm sitting at 1,000 right now, so I don't really have to worry about that. I might just go ahead and do it. Just why not? If I tap my wolf amiibo to it, I can unlock the special dungeon that will get me another wallet. So.
Yeah.
Maybe I can do that. Yeah, in the HD version of Twilight Princess, they did add a new challenge floor dungeon, like the ones where you go down. Like there's one already in this one. They had Yes, they had another
one. Cave of Ordeals.
That gives you a bigger wallet that if you get it, you can hold 9999 rupees.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, so I missed out on the color dungeon in Link's Awakening, your choice, man. And I'm going to miss out on this one. Hey, I'm covering the original versions, man. That's my thing. That's funny. How did you get the wallet for the 1,000 rupees?
Agatha gives us the first one.
Oh, so it's because I gave her 12 bugs, so I was like, maybe the 13th bug is what I need or something like that.
You pair.
Just out of 24
if
bugs
you
total.
The first time we pair a bug, we got
a
rupee upgrade. If we do half of the bugs, if we do 12 bugs, we get a stamp.
But, okay. But is it like you have to get a certain amount of pairs?
No, it was like one of the first things I got from her.
Yeah.
Well, I can hold 600 now. I can't hold 1,000.
Again, that's your version. Can't tell you. I don't know what you got to do.
That's weird.
So another thing that we get in the HD version is with the tap of a button on our gamepad, we can instantly switch from human to wolf. It's a button on the top corner. You just tap it, and
that's
nice. It will change. If you can't change because there's people around, it does like a little noise. But it doesn't stop, and Midna isn't being like, what are you doing? People are going to freak out if they see this. It's just like, okay, moving on.
I was actually love super... that gamepad. Happy that when you go to warp, it doesn't require you to turn into a wolf and then pick warp. You can just warp and it'll turn you into a wolf.
I wish it
would warp you and then immediately put you back as a human, but at least the transformation takes a second, so it's not that annoying.
Yeah, I it's the same thing in the original version. She'll just pop you into a wolf form after you pick where you want to go.
So, another thing that we can do, we talked a little bit about it, is collecting the postals for Giovanni.
Did
everyone go and get 20?
Oh, I don't have 20 yet.
I've got like
me too.
I've got like 13 or 14, but I've got 3 bottles, so I'm good.
He'll give you a bottle with Great Fairy's Tears. Which will fully refill your hearts and give you an attack boost.
Ooh.
Okay. Now there's only one other place you can find Great Fairy's Tears, right?
We can't access it yet.
I think Jules said one of the chew jellies is like Great Fairy's Tears, which I didn't know what Great Fairy's Tears were at the moment, so I was like, okay, cool, but.
Mm-hmm. Which one, I wonder?
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
I can't remember, but I don't think that's how I don't think that's the case. I think you got to get those tears from an actual fairy. Not sure.
Okay. I also don't like the place that they put them whenever we get there eventually. I think something else cool could be down or could be there, but
another
that's okay.
item that he gives you another item. I don't know if this. I think this might be an HD one. The ghost lantern that will tell you when ghosts are nearby, but like I can already tell when they're nearby because I can see them.
Yeah.
I don't know. It maybe it shows it on the map if you're holding it or something like that.
Oh, it's a physical item that you hold up? Huh.
Yeah, I'm
weird.
I'm not sure. It doesn't use oil, but it doesn't, I don't know, I don't think it lights up anything either.
That's weird.
But it's another item that you can get, but I just don't think, it's useful.
I'm reminded that we've got a couple other Wolf Stones we can do.
Yep.
One of them is a song that doesn't exist in other Zelda games. I was trying, like, I wonder what song this is. Maybe it's a Majora song I don't remember, but I looked it up and it's just new. But the fact that the only instrument that we can ever use is wolf howling from time to time in certain spots means that there's no day-night cycle song, which is awful.
I just want to be like, can I just lock night right now? Can I just make it so night stays for right now?
Well, I...
Yep.
That was, like, one thing I was going to ask is, like, is there a way to make it go day to night? Because I know there's been a couple times where it's like, oh, hey, the shop is only open at night. You should come back. And it's like, all right, well, mm-hmm. I don't know how to make it night, so I'm just going to do a bunch of stuff and hope I get back here in time for night.
Right.
Or, you know, I thought, because this would be the logical thing, if you go to Kakariko Village and you stay, you went to the inn, you would think they would let you, like, sleep until morning or something. But no, the doors are just locked at night.
Right.
So...
everything's closed. No. And then the one thing that I really wanted it for, though, was in addition to that, is bugs are a lot easier to find at night. Poes are a lot easier to find at night because you can see them in the distance and they sparkle and they have a light source to them. And so I was like, hey, I'm by this spot where I haven't found bugs yet. I want to look for bugs, but... I mean, it would make more sense for me to wait for nighttime, and I can't switch it over to nighttime. So that also makes me angry.
The attacks we get from these two wolf stones are super cool, though.
Yeah. So we get, and they're all, I got three new moves, right? So I've got Helm Splitter.
Yes.
Which was another move from Wind Waker, right?
Yeah.
Well, this solves a Wind Waker problem we had, especially during the Orca fight. The BC brought it up.
So basically, like, if you think about the Helm Splitter and you think about the back attack, they're the counters from Wind Waker, which I don't think there was any way to say, this is the counter I want. And one big problem I had with Wind Waker was...
Yeah, right. Okay, yes.
You do one counter and, oh, hey, Link rolled into an object and that messed up the animation and you end up getting hit. Or you do the Helm Splitter counter when you really needed the back attack. And now it's like, okay, these are distinct commands. I can do them when I want. They're not that hard to pull off. And it's just a lot. It's still as cool... And now I can do it intentionally.
So something I'm noticing, though, is that the combat system in this game makes it a lot of fun to do one-on-one fights. But when it comes to having a bunch of different enemies around you, like Wind Waker is a lot better at the kind of crowd control aspect we were talking about, where we thought it was kind of fun to have a room full of enemies and prioritize things and be like, okay, if I can throw my boomerang out, take a couple of these guys out. Okay, now let me go ahead and isolate a moblin and take it out real quick. And then you move through a room and deal with things like that. And then this one, it's like, no, you are focused on a dude and you really hope that his friends leave you alone because there's no real way to... And not many instances where they present you with stuff like that. And so I like the one-on-one fighting, but I somewhat like... And the fact that we can choose when we do Helm Splitter and roll around attacks. You don't feel like you're in command of a room. You're just like having a fun fight with one guy.
No, some bigger one-on-one battles with like more Lazafos, Dinafos, Stafos, whatever the foes you got... Mm-hmm. Would make so much more sense for this game, but you're right. We do get swarms of enemies around us where like so many times I'm just frantically just being like, just do the spin on the stick and do a spin attack and get all these guys away from me. And just so I can jab a couple of them in the stomach just to get them off of me. Like it doesn't feel like I want to be, although so we get that move. Then the other move that we'll be able to get is the Mortal Draw. Which
is totally
so bad.
Oh yeah,
and
yes,
is
I love it.
Is going to be my go-to going forward for every single enemy that comes across me.
But then it just it cancels out the need to fight things because you can just stand there and be like, what? Wait, what?
So if you put your sword away and then do not target any enemies, and then as soon as they get right up in your face, you press A, Link will do this little spin attack and then just take out any enemy in one hit. And then you can also follow it up by pressing A, and he'll do that flutter with his sword and put it away. So my game is going to get so much slower now because every enemy is going to be one-on-one. I'm going to sit there and wait for them to come up to me, and I'm going to go through that process every single time. So do we have anything else to talk about before we get into the main story?
I think the only other thing I would say is that I kind of tried to revisit everywhere, just because I don't know what there is to do now. And I thought it was cool that there were a lot of places that maybe you guys already saw, but just like as cleanup, you get to like, there's like a ton of rupees and then just like little hidden areas in all the towns that we can get to now. So like I went behind in Kakariko Village, I went behind the shrine and there's like a little, like you can go into the pool behind the light spirit and there's some stuff down there. I went and talked to, the Zora Prince at his mom and dad's grave, which was like a little somber moment.
Oh, I haven't done that. I need to go do that.
I did that too.
And I was confused because I went back to Orden Village, and when you talk to the pregnant lady, Colin's mom, she says that
Uli.
She says that Colin's dad caught up with the kids, and so I'm like, oh, I can talk to him somewhere in like Kakariko or something, but I couldn't find him anywhere. Like, couldn't find the dude. So I don't know what that deal is. Maybe they got some marital problems.
Ooh.
They should talk that out. And then I went back to the Zora's domain, which I thought was weird because like the Zora have no idea what happened. But I thought it was cool that if you go into that little pool that... You go into the little pool that everybody was frozen in. That's just like a neat little area down there. And there's a couple other... waterways that like... make it easier to get from like the Zora's domain to other places. Like there was another one that connects it to the main lake, so you don't have to do that mini game or teleport or anything.
Yeah.
You can just like swim. So I don't know. I guess in general, like I just really enjoyed this section because I felt like the game finally opened up. We can teleport. We can be a wolf when we want. We have a cool traversal item in the claw shot. And I don't know, I liked the game before, but I, as much as I complain about the mini games, I thought it was super cool that now I can go around and do the stuff I want and actually like connect all these areas.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you free the Goron over in Zora's domain?
There's a Goron?
Oh no.
There's a Goron trapped inside of something where you were just talking about.
Oh.
Where they were all frozen. Go on back there. Help him out.
Okay. I'm wondering. I think I might know
what
he's got.
I'll go check it out.
It's funny.
Wandered into the snowy mountains, which I know I'm not supposed to be in yet.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I talked to them like right before you about to go. I'm like, oh, what's this pathway? I've not been up here before. And I talked to the Zoras, you know, before I went. And they're like, oh, this is, you know, the path to Snow Peak. You shouldn't go in here unless you have a map. And the map comes from the girl, the
Ashy, that's her name.
Thank you. But yeah. You actually went in, BC?
I walked in, so I got the little animation, and I walked out. And I just went back to what I was doing.
Okay.
So, we go... to move forward, if you talk to Midna, she's just like, I don't know, I gotta find this mirror. I don't know how to get to the desert. Maybe some people at the castle town know. And there's really only one person that we know at the castle town, that's Telma. So we'll go back to her bar, and she basically, it's a weird introduction because we don't really get introduced to these people. Like, we get told like, these are some people here that are part of the resistance. Go, like, they're just over there. She doesn't even say like, oh, why don't you go talk to him? She's just like, they're over there. Anyways, tell me more about that shaman back at Kakariko Village. but if you go and talk to them, that's where we will meet Shad and Ashe, and then someone else who doesn't talk.
Yep.
I don't think we know his name yet.
Oh, he talked to me. The first time he didn't, but after I talked to Shad, the scholarly one, and Ashe, fine, we'll go with that, I guess. Then the other person talked. So, I mean, if you guys want to keep it a secret for this week, I'll let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah, after I talked to him first, because I knew who he was, and then after I talked to the other two, he was like, "Sup? How you doing? Everything's cool."
Okay.
It's Russell.
Okay.
It's Pops.
Oh,
that's where
him?
Pops is. Yeah, that's where he is.
Oh.
So he's part of the resistance.
Interesting.
He will lead us to a thing later.
Okay. Oh.
Okay.
I saw him sitting over there, and I was just like, "What's up, Pops? I know who you are," but he wouldn't talk to me at first, and I was like, "Okay, you want to play coy? It's cool." And then afterward, he was like, "Oh, hey, how's it going? Let me take my hat off and be like, dun da da da." So he's there.
Interesting.
You can talk to him right now, and he says basically the same thing that BC said. It's, you know, everything's fine. I went and saw everyone. Everything's cool. Now I'm out here helping out the resistance. Mm-hmm.
They tell us basically that none of them can help us right now, but their buddy Aru can. And Aru's
right.
hanging out by in the Lake Hylia. And so if we go over there, we can run into him, talk to them. And I mean, Aru is clearly supposed to be referencing, was it Raru from Ocarina?
I guess. Okay.
Who was the Keeper of Light.
A town from Zelda 2? Yes, yes.
Yes.
He's referencing that town. I am a city.
He basically says, what you need is over in that desert. Only way to get into there is through cannon. By the way, the guy that runs the cannon owes me a favor. Don't ask.
Right.
Here's the IOU.
I'm cashing it in for you.
Yeah. Go ahead and take this over there. We go and get in the cannon. Give him the note. Well, we give him the note. Get in the cannon. They change the direction. We get launched, and then I got super disappointed that the next scene after we see Link flying through there, like, whoa, is him just standing totally normal in the sand. Like, we don't see his, like, legs sticking out of the sand. He's gonna, like, pop
we don't have
out
one big pile of Link.
There's nothing. It's just standing in this new area, and I was very disappointed by that. Come on.
Well, it pretty much goes in straight into a cutscene with some lore, basically. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is when we do get some more information with Midna, that she talks about how her people were banished to the Twilight, and their whole tribe, like, has lived there forever, so basically Australia.
Right, well, we get that from Aru. He says the Australia part. He's like, hey, you see that? That was a prison.
No, he says that was a prison, but then Midna talks about how her people were banished to the Twilight.
Right. We're the Australians, right?
No, because he says that, you know, their worst criminals they sent to the underworld. And so
they kept the mirror in that prison. So when they shipped everybody to that prison, they would go through the mirror there or something.
Yeah. Midna talks more about that, about like her connection with it and about how like her people were the ones that did that. But it makes it sound like, you know, this was a thing that happened generations ago and hasn't for a long time.
Well, they were the ones using the evil mask part things that we were picking up.
Sure. Yeah.
So they were the ones that were banished by the spirits, the different region spirits.
But then we get another moment with Midna just being real. I don't know, it's a moment of desperation for her, because she's just like, will you please help me do what I need to do here? Not saying like, assuming, oh, let's go. Because like, Link doesn't really have motivation at this point. Like, beyond, you know, all of his friends are safe and sound. Like, he didn't necessarily agree to help out the resistance. We're really just sort of wandering around, and our weird shadow imp is the one that's just like, oh, there's some things I need to do. Can you help me out? And that's kind of like our only motivation is our friendship with Midna.
And to stab that guy who turned us into a wolf.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I think it's all pretty cool at this point. If I could just willingly turn into a wolf.
That's fine. Okay, yeah. I mean, but she says that that guy is the one who banished her here, which is why she was just hanging out in our world as a shadow, bringing back up Russell's words from the opening of the game about, It's the only time when we can see the spirits of those who've been, you know, who have passed from this world or whatever. But then also, Zant said the last time we saw him that he needs Midna.
Uh-huh.
So he just kind of kicked her out. He reverse Australia'd her to make her desperate enough to help him, maybe, I guess.
They call that New Zealand.
That's a reverse Australia, right? No, it's like if Australia sent their prisoners back to England just to let them know how good they had it in Australia.
Yeah.
So we get into the desert. We can wander around. You know, there's some pose to collect. There is the piece of the bridge that got ripped off before is here.
Yes.
But I didn't get my teleport to that bridge, broken bridge area. I still got to go back
because
and fight
them. We weren't a wolf at the time.
Yeah, but we could have. Like, knowing now,
I did it.
Yeah.
I took care of
it. I just kept going because I was like, I ain't got time for this. I ain't going to be warping around anytime soon when we got that cutscene. So I wasn't worried about it. But now I'm like, I wish I did.
Is that what that thing was off in the distance?
Big stone slab.
Yeah. I remembered it like, I remember doing something with it from like the very first time that I played it, but I'm like, I couldn't remember. I thought it was something that I did later. So I'm like, I'll just come back to it later. I know I need to go to the Colosseum thing and whatever. And so,
the bridge itself isn't super important, but what's under the bridge is very helpful.
Like, the bridge piece?
The bridge piece itself isn't, you know, restoring that bridge makes things a little easier, but you can already warp around, so it's not that big a deal anyway.
Right.
But afterwards,
it makes it easier to get those bugs that are on either side of the bridge, but that's about it.
Yeah, afterwards, what is underneath that bridge is more helpful.
Okay.
Yeah, it's completely innocuous, too. Yeah, because I remember the first time I played the game being like, not realizing that was a bridge piece. Then once I finally did it, I was like, oh, cool. Well, at least I can still warp back to the desert if I ever need to from this spot.
Oh.
And didn't really realize that there was something else there. But we'll get there eventually.
Yeah.
We'll make our way.
Did anyone get the owl mask?
Yeah, I did.
Yes.
We didn't talk about it. I haven't gotten it, but I just remembered it because of my notes that I'm looking through here. And I was just like,
I did the little quest that Mallow and Tallow ask you to do, or little game they ask you to do.
Yeah, so I did that, and they gave me a heart piece, and I just moved on. Is there another level to that?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think there's only one, but it would have been helpful during that mini game for like the last shot.
Oh, sure. Okay. No. Okay. Where do you get the mask? I don't have
Mallow.
It. I can't remember.
Mallow sells
not
it
in Mallow's new. Yeah. The original shop that he stole from a dead person.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's in that one.
Oh, I need to go do that. Well,
yeah,
I
just ignored it.
I've been doing pretty good with my aiming already.
Me
I don't
too.
Really need the sniper
just,
shot with that thing.
All I had to do was hold the Wiimote with two hands, and I got it on one shot.
So, as we go further north onto here, we do come across a fortress. A very small fortress.
Yeah.
Well, this is the prison, right?
No.
Technically?
No, because the Arbiter's Ground is the prison.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is just sort of the entrance, and a bunch of Bublins have taken over this place. And if you're not paying attention to where the arrow ones are, this place gets really annoying. Because as you get up there, they're all up on these towers. But you can also, if you're seen by them, they will like keep summoning like swarms to come at you.
Oh, is that what was triggering?
I'm pretty sure that's what it was,
because
you had to take each of them out. And every time you shot them, you got a cutscene of them like falling off.
Oh, okay. I just kept doing a sword spin and moving
my
way through.
Oh, I did too, but it wasn't until like three quarters of the way through that I pieced it together. I'm like, oh, if I take those guys out, this gets a lot easier.
So before... Oh, so before you get to like that whole like little stage, there's like a little area that you have to like get to, like that you run across or whatever before you get to that, and you know, like a rickety, like it's set up right before you're about to get to like the fortress that the moblins have taken over or whatever. And so like I learned from them that they like call other ones and they get on the warthog things or whatever. And so
snow speeders, yes.
Okay. And so I took them out And I loved it when you could get on top of the, what are you calling it? I'm calling them giant warthogs.
Because they're giant. Yeah, they're giant warthogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I loved it when you could get on them and like, and then you, like, you press A, like, you know, like with the Pona, like you make it go faster and he like kicks back and then he barrels through like the tall, like, spider things that they have built, and so you can get the treasure chest underneath, and then you like barrel through like the wooden, you know, things that they have, because there's other like wooden fences that I like saw earlier, like when you first get into the desert. I'm like, how are you getting through those? Because I saw a treasure chest. I'm like, you can get onto the giant warthogs. So I'm gonna have to go back and do that, because I love riding them. They're so cute.
Giant warthog, 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I can forgive the controls on them more than I can with Epona, because it makes sense that when you like go fast with it, it's just so hard to control. But at least you're like tearing through stuff, and it's just like fun.
It is fun.
I'm okay with that being hard to control, because it's just for the entertainment.
And Link looks like a cartoon character, like towel on a clothesline, just flapping behind it.
But yeah, into there, and we do have to fight like waves of them. I was almost out of hearts there, but fortunately, at the very end, there is a roasting hog that if you hit it, it will drop a heart container. So I got that, and that refilled all my hearts. So that was fortunate.
Like
the heart piece.
Yeah, heart piece. So
okay. I was like, cool.
I thought that this was. I'm glad you mentioned it, because I specifically wanted to bring this up. I'm just like beating the crap out of this thing, because it's showing that you can target on it, right? And I'm like, but it's dead. It's like they're cooking it. And I'm just like, they're eating the things that they ride. I'm like, what is going on? And so then I'm like, it's like dropping all these hearts as I beat it. And I'm like, but it's still having me target. I'm like, what is the point of this? And then I'm like, and then all of a sudden it drops like a heart piece. And then I immediately thought of Brian.
Awesome.
I thought of Brian, because it's like, it's like you never expect like a heart piece to be in here. And I'm like, this stupid game. Like, and you're like, you're hiding a heart piece in this dead warthog that's like cooking over a fire. I'm like, okay, fine. Well, I got a heart piece.
Well, I went up to see if I could grab it, because it looks just like a campsite from Breath of the Wild.
Yes.
So I was, you were able to grab the meat that was that they were, or the fire that they were around. So I was like, well, I can't really interact with this. So I'll just be like, no, that's cool. Here's where the Breath of the Wild campsites come from.
Right after that, we find a single warthog, and we can use that to like blast through. The last Bulban did drop a key, so we can unlock a little area there, which was interesting. It just dropped a key and was just shining on the ground. And then as
it was tough to pick up while I was getting mobbed.
Yeah,
like I was just doing spin attacks and working my way through this. We were talking about gluten-free baking, and I'm just like casually spinning as I walk through the area, but for some reason I couldn't grab this key.
The key dropped into the campfire for me.
Yeah, me too. Oh, it was real close to that. So
so we do find this area with a single warthog, and we get a little cutscene where our good buddy King Bulban shows up out of the darkness, and we get a one-on-one fight with him. I didn't get touched, because I was just like, I know all the moves here, where I'm like, I'm just spinning around him, slashing him in the back, like jumping away from him real quick, getting in there, jab, 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 arrows to the face. I used everything that I had, and it was just like, I didn't get touched at all, and it just felt great.
Oh, I messed him up. Like, he didn't have, like, he didn't get a second to even touch me, because of just, I was using the moves. It was a one-on-one fight. There were no one else around me to mess me up. And he started the fight out by swinging his giant weapon, knocking the warthog out, and then knocking me out. And I was like, dude, like, you know, I'm the hero here. You leave that warthog alone. It is on.
You know, I said we didn't have motivation. Now we have motivation.
And I definitely was able to use my my fatal blow on him. It didn't kill him, but I definitely made sure to, like, check that and get one in there. I don't know if it just took out a huge chunk of his health, but He was done in like 10 seconds for me.
That was actually how I killed him with the mortal draw. But I hit him with a bunch of other stuff first. And at one point, I just kept shield bashing him over and over because it keeps stunning him. And it was just so fun. This is probably the most fun I've had in a mini boss fight this entire game.
Yeah.
And yeah, it made sense. It was fun to fight. And like, it felt like an accomplishment because it's this guy you've been fighting this entire game. And then you're finally like mano a mano with him.
This is the original Nemesis system.
Yeah. That would have been great.
I had no issues with him. I didn't have to do anything fancy. I just walked into him, jab, 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 and then he blocked me a couple of times. I'm like, okay. So then I skirted around. I'm like,
whatever, buddy.
And then like I stabbed him like a little bit in the back. And then like, I'm like, why can I do it with this dude? But I can't do it.
So you were doing fancy stuff.
But I can't do it with like, you know, the, I can't do it with.
You need motivation.
And I'm just like, okay, fine.
The dead swordsman's not motivating you well enough.
Oh, God, yeah, but, like, he didn't even hit me. I was like, aren't you supposed to be this big bad dude? How dare you hurt the warthog who has been your steed? And I'm like,
who do you think you are?
And I'm like, I was so mad. I was so mad. I'm like, oh no, you did not. And I'm like, this poor warthog.
It is so odd.
Right. But yeah, so then we defeat him. And then he like limps away, though. I'm like, it doesn't really die. That made me mad. I was like.
Well, he says something to us, too. He's just sort of like, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, he's like,
and then,
like rubble, limps away. And he like limps away. He's like dragging his leg. I'm coming.
In New Game Plus, we'll get a translation. We'll be able to see what he says. No.
As soon as he leaves the room, they torch the place.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's no way with how slow he was moving, he got far enough away to not get hurt by that fire.
Right.
But, yeah, the only thing we really have to do is to get on our warthog. And we just blast through the rest of the walls there. And that was fun.
That was
just a straight shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that leads us to the entrance of the Arbiter Grounds. Mm-hmm. This is where we are going to be ending our episode. For the next episode, BC, do you have something?
I don't want to digress because I know we're at the end. But there's one thing that needs to be brought up. And it was that. When we go to Telma's bar and we talk to, I think his name, Shad.
Septimus.
He brings up the origin of the Uku.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what?
Dude.
I talked to each of them once.
So I think you have to talk to him.
No, he only did it once.
Twice.
Yeah.
So he goes
into detail. Yeah. It was the second time.
And he's like, yeah, you know, there's these legendary people called the Ukus, and you know that Hyrule was created by the Hylians, which were the, like, people closest to God, which kind of insinuates that either they have a serious, like, I don't know, superiority complex, or that these people are, like, not actually Hylians, just descendants. And he's like, but the Ukus are the people who were supposed to have created the Hylians. And it's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And then he's like, they had this, like, kingdom up in the sky, and I was like, is this Skyward Sword?
Yeah,
like,
he's I don't totally know about talking Skyward about Sword.
No.
But like, I'm like, is this what it's gonna be? Is it just gonna be Link and a bunch of Ukus up in the sky creating Hyrule? Because that's gonna be
the twist is Link dies and you play as an Uku for the rest of the game.
Sorry, just wanted to put that out there. Make
I'm
sure
so glad you
known.
Did.
That was worth bringing
good.
Up.
I totally forgot to do that.
But anyway, that's where we are going to end for this episode. In our next episode, we're going to be going through the Arbiter's Grounds. This is a dungeon, so we'll have a boss at the end, beat the boss, get a new heart container. But also, we're going to go all the way up to the Snow Peak Ruins. That is the entrance of the next dungeon. So we're going to get through this dungeon and then go through all the way up to the next dungeon. And we'll meet back here and talk about it on Chat of the Wild.